It is time to bring in Dr. Judy Werpman. Judy is the co-author of the Serotonin Power Diet, serotoninpowerdiet.com, also author of Simon Loses His Tummy, the Kindle edition, and her latest book, Before Her Voice Was Still. Here she is, Dr. Judy Werpman. Good morning, Judy.
Good morning to both of you. And I want to talk with both of you today, especially you, Marshall, you know, about a problem that has been written about for really many years now, but there seems to be really no solution, and that is the problem of children who are fat or overweight, obese. I shouldn't be using the word fat, but let's say weight challenged, sometimes from a very young age. And if one even looks at anything in the media, you know, on the internet or even in pediatric journals, there seems to be sort of a hand-wringing response to the fact that the young population in our country seems to be growing fatter every year. About 70% of children in this country are considered in the overweight or obese category. And if they are in a demographic that is characterized by being low income, perhaps less well educated, neighborhoods without access to good health services, sometimes the number can be as high as 40% of children being obese. And of course, one of the problems that people look at is the kind of medical issues that could arise in association with the obesity, like diabetes or high blood pressure, at a very young age. But more really difficult from an emotional and growth standpoint, mental growth, emotional growth standpoint, is the fact that overweight children and adolescents, obese children and adolescents, are the subject of pervasive bullying and criticism and shaming from a very young age. And this is well known, and what is so shocking about it is that the response, the criticism, the critical look at these children and the assumptions one makes about them, it comes from their teachers. It's assumed that fat children don't do as well in the classroom in their studies as normal weight children, that they're lazy, they're not disciplined. It comes from any kind of obviously athletic person, your gym teacher who wants you to run around as fast as the thinner kids and then criticizes you in front of the class for not being able to do so. It comes from even the pediatricians who oftentimes will make rather negative remarks about a child's weight in his or her presence. But the most predictable source of criticism for these children comes from their parents, especially their mothers, who can make their life miserable as they're going through their childhood and adolescence. And this misery, the negative stereotypes that are imposed on them, last well into adulthood. And along with this hand-wringing is, what do you do about it? So you put the kid on a diet. And I've known people who were taken to Weight Watchers when they were young because their moms knew that they were overweight and thought this is the only way to deal with it. Or, you go see a nutritionist, and the nutritionist says, cut out all the snacks. If you want to eat something between meals, eat carrot sticks and slices of apple. Make sure that your portion sizes are measured. Make sure that, you're not eating any snack food. But it seems to me so obvious, and yet I so rarely see this written about, that it's not enough to put a child who is overweight or obese on a diet, because for young kids, they don't get in the car and drive to a McDonald's and buy the Happy Meal for themselves. They don't walk to a convenience store, even if they're one they could walk to buy themselves Doritos or a Coke full of sugar or any other kind of soft drink full of sugar. If they eat those foods are in the house to be eaten. And they're not necessarily the ones who don't understand that it's a really good idea to do some exercise, even if it just means walking your dog or, doing something in the garden or playing outside. But their parents or their other siblings also may not be doing any kind of physical activity. And so why should this kid be told to do something that nobody else in the household does? And so it seems so obvious that if you're going to have a child in your household or an adolescent lose weight, it has to be something that the entire household is involved in, because there probably is some psychological dynamic going on between the parents or the siblings and the child so that one child is gaining weight. And if you don't look at the causes for this weight gain, you're not going to be able to help it. I mean, you do it, if you can, with an adult. If an adult comes in and has gained a great deal of weight, you say, okay, what's going on? Why are you using food as a way of escape or as a way of medicating yourself or as a way of giving yourself some joy when everything else in your life is awful? I mean, we do know that many, many children become obese because they've been sexually abused, and they think if they become obese, they no longer will be abused because they'll be unattractive to the abuser. And that, you know, is often picked up years later, which is a total tragedy and disgrace. But you also can look at whether is your kid depressed. You know, is your child suffering from seasonal affective disorder, which can affect, you know, adolescents or children as well as adults and make them gain weight during the winter? Is your young daughter going through the food cravings of PMS, which, you know, come erratically because her menstrual cycle is erratic at a very young age, but really is there and causing her to overeat? You know, is something going on at school? Is the pressure to get into college of making the adolescent overeat? All these things should be considered. A diet is almost incidental. And yet, you rarely see this written about in any coherent way.
You know, I lived in a household where both my brothers were athletes. My sister was an athlete, and I was not. I was not an athlete. I did not go out and exercise. And so by the time I got out of eighth grade, I was about 170 pounds, okay? But I didn't want to go to high school weighing 170 pounds as a freshman. So that summer, I did a drastic diet on my own and got down to 147 pounds. And went in, you know, looking normal, like a skinny little dweeb of a freshman. And I held the weight basically in check right through my high school days. When I got into radio, all hell broke loose. But that was the problem in my house. The food consumption wasn't necessarily the problem. It was that my brothers and sisters would do things to work it off, and I wouldn't. I played guitar. I didn't go out and do all those other things. But I did realize my brother Mark said, "You go to high school being overweight, you're going to get beat up." And you know what? That worked. I lost all the weight that summer.
Yeah, but the point is, Marshall, you don't have to be a competitive athlete or a member of a team in order to do enough physical activity to compensate for what you're eating. I mean, part of it is a lifestyle now. I mean, if you, for example, walked to school and walked back, or had a bicycle and rode around the block, or just went off and played with other kids outside, that would have constituted physical activity. I mean, it's not either or. Gee, you belong to a basketball team, or you go out for lacrosse, or you sit home and you eat and become fat. Why should there be only those alternatives? I mean, if your parents had said, "Let's take a walk every night after supper on a Sunday afternoon," or "Why don't we go to some place where you'd be walking," or "We'll all go for a bike ride," why couldn't you do that? I mean, it's almost as if because you weren't athletically skilled, let's say, you, therefore, Marshall doesn't exercise. Marshall doesn't do any physical activity. Why was there that discrepancy?
Well, because simply we lived out in the middle of nowhere, and my mother worked, and my father was in show business and not there. And I was with my grandmother, and my grandmother had her sisters up, and they would cook Hungarian food, and so I'd be there with them. Really, it was not the greatest thing.
But also, I mean, there had to be other things going on, since your other brothers and sisters were doing stuff, and you know, you chose that as a safe and comfy place.
That's what it was. Yeah, but anyway,
that's totally part of it. Is like you have to have a place where you feel good, and once that's linked.
Yeah, I mean, somebody could have said, "Gee, Marshall, you live out in the country. You don't have to worry about getting mugged if you take a walk in, you know, a bad neighborhood or something." The thing is, people would have said, "Wow, what a great place to run around and be a child."
So
if somebody had come into your household or a pediatrician said, "Oh, Marshall has to lose weight," would they have actually seen the complexity of your family's situation? Probably not. They probably would have said to your grandmother, you know, stop putting so much, I don't know, fat into your foods or something, or serve him smaller portions, or he doesn't get the strudel for dessert. You know, he gets an apple and everybody else gets the strudel. And would not have probably looked at the entire dynamic of, well, Marshall's not athletic, therefore we don't really care whether he exercises or not, and we don't really care about his weight because he doesn't have to be on a team. I'm just, you know, using you as an example. I'm making all this up, but the point is, it's a very complex situation, and the point is, I'm sure your body image or your self-image lasted for many years after high school.
Well, it was, like I said, it set the standard. If I had a nickel for every pound I gained and lost, I'd be as rich as Bezos right now.
Yeah, but you know, I just want to make another point that it said, okay, if you are a fat kid, you're going to be a fat adolescent and then adult. It's going to last through childhood. But I've said this before. If you have been a fat kid and you lose the weight and keep it off, no one is ever going to identify you as somebody who had obesity in childhood. We don't I mean, I wasn't fat, but I was plump. And I don't walk around with the sign saying, wow, she's a small size now, but you should have seen her when she was in second grade. The thing is that we don't have any information from surveys and what have you as to what the fate is of children who are overweight and obese when they were young and then grow up to be thin, normal weight or thin or normal weight, have normal amounts of physical activity, eat well. Nobody identifies us, and yet there are many people like us around, and I think that's very important to look at, too. How is it that some of us manage to escape the stigma of being a fat butterball at the age of seven, as I was called by my pediatrician, and grow up and be a normal weight?
Thank you very much, Dr. Judy Wortman, Food for Mood.
Close to home. Judy Wortman at Food for Mood. You can hear Judy, of course, live on Thursday mornings and also at robinhoodradio.com. Click on On Demand. Click on Food for Mood with Dr. Judy Wortman.